and spend time in your word, spend time worshiping you. So I just pray, Lord, that everything that's said and done here is glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in our series, there's a psalm for that, and we're dealing with our emotions. And the emotion that we're going to deal with today is the emotion of fear. Now, we all experience the emotion of fear, and there's what I'm going to call micro-level common fears that we can, in some senses, control or do something about. For example, if you're afraid you won't be able to pay your bills, you go to work to make money. If you're afraid you're going to gain weight, you exercise and eat right. If you're afraid you're going to fail a test, you spend some time studying. These are real fears. And they're somewhat controllable by good decisions and lifestyle changes. But there's going to be plenty of things in life that we fear. And in some cases, there's nothing that we can do about those things because they're totally out of our control. Now, these are what I'm going to call macro fears. And in 2026, here are some of the top areas of fear that Americans have, and they fall into this macro category. So when studies say, like in 2026, this is what a lot of people in America are afraid of. They're afraid of artificial intelligence and technology, or we are afraid of this. 64% of Americans worry that AI will eliminate their job, making AI one of the top related fears. Cognitive dependency, 56% of people feel that AI integration will leave people unable to think for themselves. Okay, and we see this kind of in our culture, right? Misinformation and cyber threats. 52% of people are deeply concerned about AI spreading misinformation. 55% fear cyber terrorism. So now if you're in like my age group, if you grew up through the 80s and 90s, you know Hollywood actually conditioned us to be fearful of this, right? All the movies that we saw, like Terminator and stuff, like robots coming to kill us, right? And you know, it's a fear, and like things like AI, we see these things, and you know, you're on your doom scroll and you're like, whoa, a dog can pour a cup of coffee? That is amazing. You know, and then your kid's like, duh, it's AI, okay? So we see how this stuff starts to kind of take over, and we see why this is a big fear for people. Now, the second fear that most Americans have are economic fears, okay? Inflation and cost of living. 55% of households report ongoing financial hardship due to rising prices, with 15% of the people describing it as a severe hardship. Economic collapse. 42% of Americans believe that the U.S. will experience a total economic collapse within the next decade. Medical bills, with rising health insurance premiums, high medical bills rank as the number one specific financial fear that people have, worrying 45% of older adults. And then the third fear is government corruption, okay? For over a decade, government corruption, government officials and corruption is consistently top the national anxiety list. 69% of Americans cite that this is one of their greatest fears, government corruption. Global conflict, 55% of Americans fear that we'll be pulled into a world war, and 53% worry about the use of nuclear weapons. Now, these are all reasonable fears, and for the most part, you and I have little or no control over these things. We have little or no control over these things. Whether or not these things will happen and how they will impact my and your everyday life. And unfortunately, right now in our culture, something else is happening with these fears. People are making money off of leveraging our fears. And here's how it works. Some of you have heard the term clickbait before. So basically what happens is they put out fear-inducing stories, and we're looking through our phones or on the internet, and we're looking and we see this fear-inducing story, and instead of saying, I'm not gonna read that, what do? Click. Oh no, right? And that's what happens. And it could be true, it could be false, we don't know. But basically what's happening is they're leveraging the real fears that we have with maybe fake news or over-exaggerated news to add to our fears. So what do you and I as believers do? Well, I believe that Psalm 46 gives us guidance in dealing with the emotion of fear, especially in the areas of things that we can't control. So we're going to start off, and the first is this. We need to rely on God. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So there's three things I want to point out from this verse. God is our refuge, meaning a place of safety. But how does this work? Well, it works like this. When you have a fear and you are obsessing over that fear and you are wondering how to solve the problem that is causing the fear, you actually need to go to God. You have a safe place to go to in God. And first and foremost, it starts with your salvation. Okay, it starts with your salvation. The gospel message is this: we are sinners in need of a savior. Jesus is that savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave to prove that he is God. And Jesus said, all who believe will have eternal life. We have a safe place in him. We actually deserve spiritual death for our sin. But because Jesus died for us, we actually have a safe place, a refuge in him. God is our refuge. We have a safe place. But after that, what do we do as believers? Okay. As a believer, we need to bring our fears to him daily in prayer and find out what his guidance is from his word. We find safety in that because he is the one that is over and above all our fears. The second thing in this verse, it tells us we can rely on his strength. God is our refuge and strength. We have a resource when we are weak. And I don't know if you realize this, but we are actually weak all the time. So we need his strength all the time. But sometimes our fears overwhelm us and we feel like we can't even do the things that we love to do or need to do. I mean, obviously you all were through the global pandemic. Well, there are still people today that are afraid to do certain things, afraid to leave their house because they're fearful of what might happen. Doing what we're doing now, some people are still afraid to do these types of things. Now, some get so fearful, they don't even want to leave their homes. We need to rely on the strength that we have from God that is promised to us. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Which brings us to the third thing in this verse, and that is this: a very present help in trouble. Now, a very present help in trouble. God does for his people what we can't do for ourselves. Okay, God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. Now, there's a myth. Maybe you were taught this when you were younger. God helps those that help themselves. Some of you, yeah, in my generation, maybe a little older, this was something that was told to you, like, uh-oh, right? So here's the thing. The opposite is actually true. God helps those that can't help themselves. In fact, the moment when we realize what we are going through is too much for us to bear and we need help, this is where we really experience the help from God. God is a very present help in a time of trouble. The idea of trouble here carries the idea that God helps us in situations which there seems to be no way out. Nothing or no one in this world can solve but God. When you take these fears that Americans have, right, about technology and corrupt government and financial things, like, these are things that are going on around us, and even the people in charge don't seem to have a handle on this stuff. But there's nothing out of the parameters of God's strength for the believer. So we rely on God. But sometimes we still have fear, and part of the reason why is we think everything should be good and everything should be perfect, and when it's not, we become fearful. Okay, so you're probably like me, and you just think everything should be good and perfect. That like my everything in my life should go the way that I've planned. Everything in my life should go the way that I want it to. I should be happy. I should have joy. Things should go well. But the truth is, we realize that they don't always work out that way. But what the psalmist does next is he helps us to understand we need to admit that there are things that we will naturally fear. So the next point is this. We need to realize bad things happen. Realize bad things happen. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So the point of these verses is this. Bad things happen, and it's natural to fear those bad things happening. We live in a sin-filled world. The entire creation is under a curse of sin right now. The point is, we should expect these bad things to happen. We shouldn't look and be surprised. We should, I live in a sin-cursed world. Bad things are going to happen. And even when everything is falling apart, I still should not have fear. But then we have to ask, but why? Because when bad things happen, we are reminded to not lay a foundation on anything in this earth. It can and will let you down, and it can and will break down. So if you kind of get that simple truth right now in your life, I can't set my foundation on anything in this world, you're way ahead of the game. Because now you're going to look to where you can set your foundation on. Now, this is why the psalmist uses these images. If natural disasters happen, we inherently realize there's nothing I can do to stop them. Remember years ago when Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy hit, right? What do? We're, oh no, right? Oh no. And then our TV, we're watching, and then the TV goes off. What am I going to do? There's not much we can do, right? We all realize, like, I can't stop the storm, so now I'm just going to wait it out. And this is where the psalm directs us about what we need to remember when we can't stop the things that we fear. So now the psalm takes a little bit of a transition and saying, hey, this is what you got to remember about God. When things are happening in your life that you're afraid of and you can't stop, you can't do anything about. So the first thing is this. We have to remember, God provides. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Now, there's a place with a solid foundation. Do you realize that place is heaven? This is the place God ultimately will provide for his people. The scripture reading today was from Revelation 22. First two verses say this, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright and crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Heaven is a place where there is no fear. Heaven is a place where there is no fear. Now, you might be thinking, oh, that's well and good for the future, but I'm here right now. But what about the fears I have today? How is this going to help me to not be afraid? Well, here's how it works. Now, do you realize most of our real fears are based upon one thing? Staying alive. Do you realize that? Most of our real fears are based on that. Staying alive. Like, I want to keep myself alive. Okay, that's our real fears. And the foundations that we build on this earth being taken away from us. So we got the fear of, I want to stay alive, and then the fear of the foundations that I built on this earth being intact. So these are two things. So now when we come to the conclusion that if even one of my greatest fears is realized, death, God provides for me in physical death. So now I don't have to fear that. So I check that box. Okay, I'm not afraid to die. Okay, so no matter what happens in this world, actually death is going to be good for me because I go to that city with the foundation that cannot be shaken. The dawn of the new morning is when we enter into God's presence. But God doesn't only provide in death. His provision in death is just a reminder that we have nothing to fear in life on this earth. Which brings us to the next thing we need to remember, and that is this: God's power. It says this: the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease and the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So basically what's happening here is this. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of things in this world that are going on. Okay. So the question that we now have to ask when it comes to fears is this. What are we dealing with? What are you personally dealing with when it comes to fears? What are you going through? What's causing fear? Maybe you're struggling with a health issue. Maybe you have an injury and you can't do the things that you used to do. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe you're having relational issues. Maybe some of those things have been a comfort and a firm foundation to you in the past, but now those things are falling apart. And your life is changing, and you're afraid that it's never going to be the same, and you're afraid that it will not be solved, and ultimately be the new way of life for you. And you're looking down that, and you're like, I am so afraid of this. Well, guess what? We have no fear. We shouldn't fear. Because God is powerful. He can bring victory in those areas. Now, victory in this life obviously takes many forms, but real victory every believer needs to focus in on is using the situation or the fear that we're in to bring glory to God. So now where this fear becomes an opportunity. So here's how we do this. So in the face of fear, we have an opportunity. And here's how it works. We need to be obedient in those fears. See, here's what happened. Much of the time, we make excuses for not being obedient. I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to pay my bills, so I was a little dishonest. I was afraid my reputation would be ruined, so I lied. I was afraid that I would not be safe, so I didn't stand up for my faith. See how this works? And it's common. And you know what? If you ask people in the world, if you ask a non-believer, or maybe even a believer that doesn't really know the word that well, they'll be like, yeah, you kind of had to do it. I mean, I know it was the wrong thing to do, but you kind of had to do it. Do you think that that's how God would respond? Because not only are you being disobedient, but you're ignoring the power of God. Now remember, God's power in your life is given to you so that you can walk through and be sustained in any situation that you are going through. This is something that we have to daily remember. I have to remind myself all the time. It's not my power, it's his power. He's the one doing the work. He's the one helping me. He's the one there to calm my fears. Which brings us to the next thing we need to remember, and that is this: God's protection. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 11 conveniently says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know when something's repeated more than once? You know what that means? Listen, right? Listen. Got our dads here. It's Father's Day. Have you ever repeated yourself, Dad? Have you ever? Okay. Some of you are like, I am a broken record. I remember talking to one guy when my kids were in scouts. The guy said, yeah, I finally understand why my dad always said, what is the matter with you? He's like, and I say it all the time to my sons. The truth is this. Sometimes we need reminders. Sometimes they're gentle reminders, right? And sometimes they're harsh reminders. But this verse is repeated in Scripture, so we listen up. There are two things this verse reminds us of when it comes to God's protection. The first is this: God is with us. There is nowhere we as believers go that God is not with us. In fact, when we pray for other believers, we should never ask God to be with them because he always is. Each believer has the Holy Spirit. So a more appropriate prayer for fellow believers is, help my fellow believers be sensitive and aware of your presence, Lord. Help them realize that you are there. Sometimes we turn our backs on God. In that time, we feel like that God is not around us, right? Some of you, maybe you've seen that Footprints poem, right? Maybe you have it hanging up in your bathroom or something like that, right? And it's like, oh, the footprints on the sands, so both of us walk in, this and that. And then when I was going through the hardest struggles, there was only one set of footprints. God, where were you, right? And he was like, I was always carrying you, right? It's not a Bible verse, okay? It's inspiring. It's a poem. But the truth is, many times when we're struggling, we feel like God's not there, but he's there. He's helping us. He's actually protecting us and guiding us. Make no mistake, God is always with you. So we need not fear. He's protecting us. Second is this, God is our fortress. Saying the God of Jacob, God of Israel, the one true God, being our fortress reminds us we should not fear because in him we have protection. In biblical times, forts were built on coastlines and hills, right? So when people were getting attacked, you had your fortress and they would have to run up the hill or send boats into the coast and then they would throw arrows at them and hurl boulders at them and stuff. Their fortress, they were safe up there. So the picture here is God being our fortress is like we are standing in or with God. And when the things of this world attack us, we have him as our fortress. So we should not fear the attacks. We should not fear impending attacks. Sometimes we get into this state of mind where we're afraid of things that aren't even happening. That's like the fears of all the Americans, like, you know, that were studied. They're afraid of things that aren't even happening yet. But now, here's a final thing we need to remember. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, most of the time, when people quote this verse, it's in regard to having a quiet time with no distractions. And this is a reasonable application. It's very good for us today in 2026 because we get a lot of distractions. I mean, we kind of set ourselves up for distractions. We keep our distraction right in our pocket or in your purse. It's your phone. You grab your phone to do something, right? How many times have you grabbed your phone to do something or like, oh, I got to text this person. You grab your phone and then you're like looking at all these notifications and stuff. And then you're like, why did I pick this thing up anyway, right? We're so distracted. We have a distracted culture. But based upon the context of this passage and the fact that the entire psalm is dealing with our fears, I think there are other applications. And the first is this, stop relying on your own strength to conquer fears. We are not alone. We just learned we have God's protection and God's power. So no matter what we're up against, we need to just be still. Rely on him. Just be still. Just trust him. Might not seem to make sense right away. Your unbelieving friends and family members will not agree with this. But you just need to just take a chill and just be still. The second is stop being afraid. Fear is an action in response to something, right? Fear is an action in response to something. Stillness is also an action. So instead of being afraid, God is telling us, be still. Do you know why? He's saying, be still in what? Know that I am God. That should be enough to know that God, the God of this universe is saying, listen, I got you, okay? You don't need to worry. You don't need to fear. Third, this is also a message of warning that you can never have peace until you submit to the Lord's authority. And the way we submit to that authority is being still Or in other words, not doing it on your own. Why? Well, because he's over everything anyway. He's going to be exalted above the nations, whether you trust him or not, whether you're still or not, he's still doing what he's doing. He's going to be exalted over the nations and the earth. And finally, be still is a rebuke to a restless and turbulent world. You remember when the storm came up and Jesus was asleep in the boat with the disciples? Do you remember that account? They were scared. Jesus was sleeping. They woke Jesus up. Jesus woke up, looked at the storm, and said, "Be still. Calm. Sheet of glass. Be still. The storm is calm." But do you know what else was calmed at that point? The fears of the disciples. Think about that. We always focus, even the winds and the waves obey him. They calm down. The fears of the disciples were now calmed. We're safe. We're good. So when we read, "Be still and know that I am God," we should be reminded that God is there to calm our fears. Now, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of fear you have. Our fears change every year of our life, doesn't it? Like, now I'm fearing this, now I'm fearing that. Ooh, that hurts, I'm afraid of that, right? All of a sudden, our fears kind of multiply or kind of evolve into different fears. But what God is saying is, listen, be still. I have you. I know what's best for you. I'm your loving Father that cares deeply for you. So we need to rely on him when these bad things happen and cause us to fear, and know that he provides, that he's powerful, he protects us, and he gives us peace. So now, in the stillness of time that we have to observe communion, I want you to think of a few things. The first is obvious for why we observe communion, and that is to remember what Christ has done. To remember what Christ has done in our place for our sins. He laid down his life. But secondly, what fear are you dealing with right now? No matter what it is, that future thing that you don't know the answer to, no matter what it is, how are you going to turn that over to the Lord? How are you going to be still and just relax in the fact that he's got you? Maybe for you today, maybe it's not a fear. Maybe it's just something else that you just need to get right with God. I'm just going to give you a few moments to just be still, and then we're going to partake together. So I'll give you a few moments.